Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
All right, we turn now to some potentially disturbing news to cell phone junkies, which frankly is pretty much all of us at this point. There's a new study conducted by the National Institutes of Health. It's published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, linking cell phone use with increased brain activity, at least in a laboratory setting. And that activity might not be the good kind. Apparently, 50 minutes of cell phone use can alter the activity in the part of the brain closest to the phone's antenna. So not necessarily where you're talking, but wherever the antenna is on the phone. The findings will be published today in JAMA. As I said, joining us to explain the findings and for some important context is Lauren Emerson, cognitive neuroscientist and researcher at Brown University. Dr. Emerson, good morning.
Good morning.
On a cell phone?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Good. I just wanted to get that out of the way right away so that we can get some of your personal impressions. Let me know if your ear starts heating up or the side of your brain while we're talking here. All right, Dr. Emerson, first of all, increased brain activity closest to the antenna. What does that mean? Give us context of increased brain activity. Is that dangerous? Is that good? Do we know?
Well, let's talk a little bit about the study first. It's a very interesting study, and it's using neuroimaging in a way that you don't often see. So what they did is they had participants with cell phones on either side of their head and took a picture, basically, of how much glucose or how much fuel, sugar, that your brain was absorbing when the cell phones were off, both were off, or when one was on and receiving some type of signal, but not the participant couldn't hear anything. So it's not like they're actually talking on the cell phone, but the cell phone is acting as if you were talking.
It's sending signals.
And that's right. It's receiving a signal, but it's not, you know, it's acting how a cell phone should. And they take a picture of the participant's brain and how much sugar it's absorbing in both of these conditions, and they find that when the cell phone is on, but, you know, everything's the same to the participant, that the certain regions around where the antenna are on that particular side, on the right side for this study, that they are taking up more glucose.
Okay.
Basically.
So what does more glucose activity mean for our brains? And I ask it in this context, of course. Everybody, myself, when I cracked this study, started wondering, well, the concern about cell phones next to our brains is the potential for tumors, the potential for cancer. Does this speak to that at all?
I think it's indirect at this point. There's a lot of research that's been done looking a lot more directly in terms of effects of radio frequency on membranes of the neurons in our brain, but none of that work has been done with adults. This is, or humans rather. This is really the first study to be trying to make this link. But as far as what glucose means for medical, or my background is in cognitive, so what actually people are thinking and doing, I don't really know what the implications are at this point. This study is suggestive that the scientific community should look further. But usually this sort of metric of, you know, you have more glucose being absorbed by these regions, people interpret as those regions are working harder. They're, for example, involved in a task. Usually you use the sort of methodology to say, okay, well, what brain regions are important when you're looking at this scene, or, you know, thinking, or, you know, listening to something. It's not usually used in this way, so it's hard to interpret it.
So what we can interpret so far is that those brain regions next to the antenna at least are more active. I want to ask you about the study itself. This is a study of 47 people, which at first glance is very, very small. Studies that lead us to draw conclusions sometimes have 500 people. Can we conclude anything from such a small study?
Well, across these different types of literatures, cognitive neuroscience literatures, epidemiological literatures that all bear on this question of cell phone safety, it's typical for these literatures to have different numbers of participants. For this type of methodology, from what I've seen, 47 participants is actually quite high. Usually for any type of neuroimaging study, especially using positron emission tomography that they're using, it's a very big number, actually.
It's actually a big study. Well, 47 people is a good study. You know, it leads me to ask the question, Lauren Emerson from Brown University. Increased brain activity is one thing. There are a lot of inconclusive studies or negative studies about tumor growth associated with long-term cell phone use. The real danger with cell phones seems to be distraction, right? More dangerous to talk on the cell phone while you're driving than it is to have a one-hour conversation because you might get a tumor.
Yeah, well, as far as the tumors go, I mean, I think just as I don't really see clearly what the medical implications are of those brain areas being more active when you.
But you're an you're an expert in distraction, though. I mean, you're a cognitive neuroscience. Okay, so talk about distraction.
Exactly. Right. You know, what I would really love to see their next study to be would be to look at a behavioral task that we know taps into those regions to see if when people are on cell phones, they're actually worse. If they could show that, you know, they're showing this activity in the orbital frontal cortex, which is very important for moving your eyes. If people are worse at moving their eyes, that could relate to why they might be more distracted. From my research, I think they're more distracted because you're engaged in a conversation in a different way when someone's not present, or if you're overhearing a cell phone, and that's my studies, you're much more engaged because you have less information. That's where I think the distraction effect is coming from. But it's possible it could be coming from these overactive regions.
And in terms of hard data and in terms of safety, we have plenty of data to show that distracted driving, whether it's from texting while driving or talking on that phone, leads to, 7,000 crashes a year in the United States? That seems to be where the danger is.
It's certainly something I think the public needs to take seriously and lawmakers need to take seriously. You know, there's a lot of data out there, but there always should be more studies to show us what's important, and I think cell phone distraction has been shown to be important and will continue to be.
Lauren Emerson, hang up the phone. Be safe. Lauren Emerson, cognitive neuroscientist and researcher at Brown University, thank you for joining us. We want to hear more from you. Are you changing the way you use cell phones? How about headsets? How about putting them down while you're driving? 8778-MY-TAKE. You can certainly call us on the cell phone or the landline. You can send us a text message. But by all means, use the headset. There's no danger in taking precautions.